Your favorite Christmas memory. So bring that along with you. I've got a story to share with you. It came out of a Christmas card that Marty and Carol Sernugel sent to me. I thought, wow, that's a great story. So maybe you've gotten the same card. I don't know if you read all your Christmas cards or not, but this was a great story. And it prompted me a few memories in my own mind, and I thought, that'd be great. We just kind of gather around a few especially if you've had some loss in your life. It's just beautiful to look back at the good memories of times gone by. And come on out tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll share those memories together. For this morning, we're in Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. When we were kids, my dad brought home a 6-horsepower riding lawnmower from Grant's Department Store. Anybody remember Grant's Department Store? It was in vogue for a little while. I don't know that we ever actually mowed the grass with that mower. It kind of had a few quirks to it, but my brother and I used to cut trails through the woods with it. That little 6-horsepower motor would cut through little saplings, would send rocks flying like bullets, would smooth out rough places. It would churn up those little inclines just fine. And once we had all our trails cut, then we souped up the engine as far as we could get it, and then we would buzz around those little trails, and if ever we got bored, we'd just cut a new trail for ourselves. Before Jesus came, he got himself a mower like that. Actually, maybe more of a bulldozer. Somebody to come in and clear the way so that everybody knew he was coming and knew what he was up to. We're talking about the ministry of John the Baptist. In fact, whenever God moves in a mighty way, he sends people to prepare their culture for what he's about to do. He sends us into this world. Luke chapter 3, verse 3. John the Baptist went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. Doesn't that sound like a bulldozer's job? Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all people will see God's salvation. What a great last line. And all people, that's John the Baptist's job. Get them ready. All people will see God's salvation. Father, we're asking you for a repeat performance in our generation to send whomever you will to make the rough places smooth and get everybody's attention for the return of Jesus Christ. We want to be active in that as well, Lord. So Holy Spirit, speak into our lives and our hearts and show us what to do. Help us to get our focus right now, to quit being so distracted by everything else that's going on and get to the most important, the heart, the reason we're alive. Thank you for this help today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. People who studied the scriptures were waiting for a Messiah to come. They had all kinds of ideas in mind, but no one expected what they actually got. They were not only expecting a Messiah, but they were expecting a forerunner to that Messiah, a messenger, somebody in the spirit of Elijah. They were thinking spirit of Elijah, not actually look like Elijah. Because what they got resembled a caveman, a fellow that lived out in the wilderness and he ate off the land. The gentleman's name was John the Baptist. You see, they were expecting a rabbi, somebody respectable from their own group. Even the Pharisees had been formed as a party getting ready for the coming of the Messiah. So they studied these things and they prepared. And they thought that he was going to be a Pharisee. They thought he would dress like they do, be raised in one of their schools, and the Holy Spirit or God would put his light on a particular student of theirs. He would preach in their finest synagogues and there in the temple, and it would just all be great. And of course, you know, this Messiah that was coming would really love the Pharisees and everything that they're about. So they're looking inward. They're looking at the palace. They're looking at the temple. And what does God send? A guy with a voice out there in the wilderness. What they got was this guy named John, and as I said, dressed like a caveman, and he ate bugs. A little bit of honey on it. I suppose if you're eating bugs, a little honey probably helps him to slide down. But he didn't look the part of what they're expecting. Here's this guy. He just, no. It would be sort of like somebody showing up at the National Cathedral fresh out of the farm field, bib overalls and smelling everything else attached. Well, I'm sorry, but you are out of order here. So many dismissed him right away because of how he was dressed and the way he acted. Catch this. God does not like to use conventional methods when endeavoring to arrest people's attention. If we were to go around the room and talk about how you came to the Lord, I'd bet we'd hear some pretty strange stories. We wouldn't hear a lot about church and things like that. There'd be some of us who were born and raised in church, of course. But God went out and got some of you. You didn't look the part. The strangest things came together. Maybe it was a tragedy. Maybe for you it was a lucky break. But God got a hold of you. He got your attention. And when God begins to move in a nation, He rarely moves in conventional ways. The Roman Catholics are not going to be able to claim Him. The Presbyterians, the Assemblies of God, He loves to use that's what really arrests people's attention, something that's out of the ordinary. It's for us to be ready when He moves in His unconventional ways to get with the way He's doing things, not require Him to do our way, but we want to do His way. And then there was John's message. He looked like a caveman, but he was so off on his message. John preached the message of repentance. You need to quit sinning. You need to give up your sin. You adulterer, go home to your wife. Apologize. Get your act cleaned up. You drunkards, throw the booze down the sink. Thieves, stop stealing. You are going to totally miss the kingdom of God. Of course, everybody loves to hear preaching like that, right? You need to be straightened out. John committed the social crime of articulating the sins of Israel's elite. Now, they liked it when he preached to the masses. But he looked right at the king and said, you need to give that wife back to your brother. You're committing adultery. He looked at the high priest and the priesthood, and he called them out on all of their sins as well. He was severely politically incorrect. And of course, the message of repentance was as wildly unpopular in his day as it always is. None of us like to be told what we're doing wrong. And especially people who have built up a whole case of why they are okay in their sin, why they're okay in doing what they're doing. People want that thin covering of excuses and justifications they drape over their sin to go undisturbed. Of course, it's wrong for them, but let me tell you my story. You'd be doing the same thing if you were me. Well, there's no other logical conclusion you could come to. Who are you to tell me anyway? Oh boy, we get all up in arms whenever somebody gets up in our business. Go call the masses, but leave me alone. So he looks like a caveman. His message offends a lot of people. And catch this, he's hard to find. He's not at all on social media. You won't find, johnthebaptist.com or .org or any of that kind of stuff. He is not preaching in any of their temples, any of their synagogues. He is literally out in the, and he doesn't post service times. You can't count on next Tuesday he's going to be on this particular little town. If you want to find John the Baptist, you literally have to search for him. You're going to have to cross the Jordan River, which wasn't an easy thing, go out into the woods, and then ask whoever you come, hey, have you seen John the Baptist? Have you heard anything about where he's going to be next? It's going to take you some time. It's going to take you some effort to get out there. It is the most inconvenient way possible to connect with others. What if we didn't have service times? Well, you know, you'd like to hear the message this morning, but you have no idea where I'm going to show up or when. Yeah. Cell phone doesn't work. But could you imagine people being that hungry for the Word of God? They're willing to go through that. How many here get a little upset when you're in the drive-thru at McDonald's or Wendy's and it takes over a couple of minutes? And these people are out there, and they haven't found John yet, but they hear it's really good once you get there. We preachers today, we do everything we can to connect with people. We're usually the nicest people in the room because we don't want to offend anybody. Nice, nice smile, pat the babies on the head, and coochie coochie to everybody, you know. Don't want anybody going, well, that preacher didn't say hello to me today. I'm leaving God and I'm going to be lost forever in eternity. It's his fault, you know. So we're always trying to be as nice as we can. We don't want to offend or scare anybody off. We try to dress in a manner that's kind of socially acceptable and all that. Because we want a hearing for God. Don't want to be a roadblock. Don't want to be a distraction at all. And we do everything we can to attract a crowd. Hey, we're going to have a pig roast. We're going to give you free pork. The barbecue sauce is to die for, man. Free breakfast. We're going to have a play at East, whatever it is. Whatever we think can attract people so that we can give them a hearing of the gospel, hopefully they'll come to Christ somehow. But John's ministry style was completely counterintuitive. Stay away from the populated areas. Go out into the wilderness. Look like Conan the Barbarian. And then yell at people whenever they get out there. John acted more like he was annoyed by people than he was glad to see them. I don't think anybody ever accused John of being warm and friendly. But this was God's choice. He said, okay, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Why would you put a voice in the wilderness? Prepare ye the way of the Lord. He told people to stop doing what they were doing. And everybody loves that, of course. But catch this, there were thousands of preachers doing it the right way in John's day. Their synagogues were largely empty. They didn't have much of a thought, but they were doing it the politically correct way. Here's how you enunciate your words. This is how you dress. These are convenient times of services for people. And you could hear an echo, 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 echo whenever they were talking. And yet you've got thousands of people going out to find the caveman. What an odd way to start a revival. Verse 7 in chapter 3 of Luke. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you that out of these stones, God could raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees. And every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Not the fire, the fire. You're about to be burned. So you know John's preaching style? He uses a lot of humor. Kisses a lot of, very encouraging fella. His messages are filled with positivity and encouragement. Your best life now. Well, actually, no. He called the people who came out to hear his message a bunch of snakes and hypocrites. How far would you go to have somebody treat you like that? Just how much trouble would you go to a seminar and sit there and hear, you bunch of jerks. Man, I don't have the time of day for you. You know, I just, wow. Apparently he never took that course, Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence Enemies. So how do you explain this? He seems to be a grumpy guy out in the wilderness yelling at everybody, and people are going to go find. How do you explain that? I only have one explanation for it. It had to be a move of God. There was a supernatural thing that God was up to. He used the most unconventional. In fact, they wouldn't work other than God. John the Baptist is a bulldozer making a smooth road for the Messiah. But none of it would be possible if the Holy Spirit hadn't been preparing the people for the ministry of John the Baptist. So catch this. The Holy Spirit has been preparing the people for repentance and a new way of life. So John the Baptist came to prepare the way for Jesus. The Holy Spirit was already preparing the way for John the Baptist's ministry. Because normally, what would happen, Steve, you went to work tomorrow and you just looked at each person and said, Chuck, you need to give up drinking. And Joyce, you need to quit fooling around. And, you know, would thank you, Steve. We really appreciate that. You might wake up the next morning in the dumpster. You know, that's normally not a well-received kind of a message. But clearly, the Holy Spirit was already making people sick of their sin, tired of life as it was. As prosperous as they may have been, it wasn't enough. You can imagine a whole generation of Israelites just kind of, yeah, I don't know, just doesn't do it for me anymore. They had sin up to here. They had everything their heart could desire. It was a fairly prosperous time. But they had a yearning that was starting. And they heard just a glimpse of there's something happening out in the wilderness. In the wilderness. Yeah, it's really, and it's tough, man. Huh. Maybe that's what I need. So a merchant would close down his shop for a week and say, hey, honey, I'll be back when I can, but I just got to get away for a little while. You going fishing? No, I'm not fishing. You going hunting? No. Well, sorta. And people just, can you see it in your mind's eye? Leaving the cities, going out into the wilderness, finding this guy, and there he is. But they're coming home different. They're coming home changed.